Now, for most of human history, privacy barely existed at all. For the first 30 or 40,000 years of indigenous existence, there was really no privacy to speak of or need for it. Everybody knew everything about each other. In fact, there wasn't even an each other as we now think about it, which is another completely autonomous human being. What we now see as individual identity was subsumed in more of a collective identity. So from an integral perspective, we do, again, we want to bring magic back. One of the great things we want to bring back from tribal culture is this idea of deeply feeling into another person in that tribal, connected, deep connected way. This is also good integral practice that a lot of people in the integral community are working on, particularly who comes to mind are the folks at the Integral Center here in Boulder who are working on their circling process, Decker Kunov and Robert McNaughton and that group. So anyway, just keep going in the history here. As we move into later tribal and feudal stages of development, there's still no privacy. We were subject, in fact, we were called subjects, to whatever king or warlord or nobleman that we happened to be a vassal of. He or she could search and take anything he wanted. But as we shook off the king in the 1700s, a new sovereign idea came into being, and that is that sovereign was seen to reside in the individual person, not in the king, not in the government. And the government was subject to the consent of the governed. Now, this is a huge and precious achievement of humanity, and we are absolutely right to value it very, very highly. And this is a, if we look at it developmentally, this is a modern idea, an orange altitude idea. And today it is rightfully seen, this rights of man idea, that sovereignty lies in me. There's a place within me, a zone of privacy that you can't get to and you can't touch. And this is rightfully seen as sacrosanct by all people who are flying at a modern or postmodern altitude. And again, there are a few things more important than the zone of privacy. But there are a couple things that are more important. And one is security, which is actually a little bit lower on Maslow's hierarchy. And this brings me to another historical trajectory that we ought to look at as we analyze this, and that is just briefly the history of war and its role in the history of social development. And again, the patterns are clear. Tribes conquered tribes, creating megatribes. This is the Old Testament for the story of one story of this. These megatribes conquered each other into nation states, then modern states, all the while creating technologies that were ever more lethal in terms of weaponry. We move from clubs to spears to guns to bombs to the atomic bomb. And with the atomic bomb, we realized a strange and new paradox in human relations, and that is that we had created a weapon that, when used, would ultimately assure our own destruction. And so thus was born the MAD doctrine, the doctrine of mutually assured destruction, which, again, paradoxically, has been a stable force for peace for the last, since 1945. And this has brought on what historians have called, and which was quite unexpected from the perspective of 1945 or the 50s even, the long peace, which is the first time in history where leading powers in the system are not preparing for or engaging in warfare. Now, you could argue, and it's true, that, okay, we're no longer doing warfare with guns and clubs and bombs, but we've just moved it up. We're moving up to warfare in business and cyber warfare and patents and all of that stuff that Obama and Xi Jinping were talking about in California. But I just say that that is indeed progress. It is way more peaceful type of warfare, and yeah, that's how it's going. Now, unfortunately, there are some people who haven't gotten the memo on modernity. And these are, of course, our pre-modern people, the red people, which is, you know, probably half or more. Ken Wilber, sometimes I've heard him estimate 70% of the world's population is at red or below. And so this is a step from the tribal people. This is a step up from the tribal people we were discussing in New Guinea. But they're far more dangerous to the world at large. And this is the warrior stage of development, if you're looking at the chart. It's red. Now, these people exhibit a dangerous concoction of red genocidal attitudes, that is, a scorched earth, brutal, I win, you lose policy, mixed with amber fundamentalism and modern weaponry. And this is a dangerous and unholy combination, and it exists throughout the world today. And sometimes it's more religious and ideological in nature, such as Al-Qaeda and the various Muslim extremist groups, and extremist groups all over the world of different religious stripes. And sometimes it's just more red criminal, and they're just, you get the feeling they're in it just a little more for the mayhem, such as the Sarnoff brothers and the Boston bombing. They had a little veneer of ideology, but you got the feeling they were just jokers. So we worry about this, and, you know, it's everything from the pressure cooker with a bomb in it to the thing that Obama said keeps him up nights, and that is the real danger, and that is that a loose nuke is smuggled out of Pakistan or Russia by a sympathetic true believer in the nuclear command structure, and it is lit off in a city square somewhere. And I think there are lots of people, smart and ever more educated, who are busy trying to figure out how to do just that. And maybe it's my own shadow fatalism, but every morning I wake up, and if the nuclear annihilation of a major world city isn't the lead story, I think, okay, good. The rest of this we can deal with.